Welcome to A Beggar Who Found Bread, a space where hungry beggars gather to share bread, the bread of life, the Messiah, Yeshua of Nazareth. My hope is for hungry souls to gather and be fed, to strengthen them to fight the good fight. This episode, Love is a Battlefield. Props to the multi-talented Pat Benatar for the title to this episode, born Patricia May Andrzejewski. She's a multi-platinum selling musician, one of the great rock voices of all time, and yes, among the elite of all female rock vocalists. She was working for a bank when she attended a Liza Minnelli concert, which inspired her to quit her day job and pursue a career in entertainment. Benatar performed in lots of musical theater, specifically a long run on Long Island in Harry Chapin's The Zinger, with a cast that included the yet-to-be-discovered Beverly D'Angelo and Christine Lottie. Most people know that the first music video played on MTV, back when they used to play, you know, music videos, but the first video played was Video Killed the Radio Star by The Buggles. The second video played on MTV, Pat Benatar's You Better Run. There's a little background for you on Pat Benatar. But as you know, it's not about the music. It's about the message. Love is a battlefield. We're entering chapter 4 of the book of 1 John in this episode, and John's first letter to dispersed Jewish believers in Yeshua and their Gentile brothers and sisters in the faith. For more history and a fuller context of this letter, I would encourage you to listen to the Let It Shine episode, which is the first in this series, this overview of the book of 1 John. The title to this episode, Love is a Battlefield, reflects much of what we see in the fourth chapter of this epistle. The apostle exhorts the readers in their love for Adonai Elohim, the Lord our God, and in their love for their neighbors, their brothers and sisters. According to John's writings, love appears to be the battlefield or the proving ground which reveals who are the children of Hashem. So let's go ahead and read, and we'll back up a couple of verses towards the end of chapter 3 to carry the context and the flow of what John wrote. So we'll start at 1 John chapter 3, and we'll begin at verse 23. This is his command, that we are to trust in the person and power of his Son, Yeshua the Messiah, and to keep loving one another, just as he commanded us. Those who obey his commands remain united with him and he with them. Here is how we know that he remains with us. By the Spirit whom he gave us. Dear friends, don't trust every spirit. On the contrary, test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Here is how you recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit which acknowledges that Yeshua, the Messiah, came as a human being is from God. And every spirit which does not acknowledge Yeshua, is not from God. In fact, this is the spirit of the anti-Messiah. You have heard that he is coming. Well, he's here now, in the world already. You, children, are from God and have overcome the false prophets, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world. Therefore, they speak from the world's viewpoint, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we distinguish the spirit of truth from the spirit of error. Beloved friends, let us love one another, because love is from God, and everyone who loves has God as his father and knows God. Those who do not love do not know God, because God is love. Here is how God showed his love among us. God sent his only Son into the world so that through him we might have life. Here is what love is. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the kapara for our sins. Beloved friends, if this is how God loved us, we likewise ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God remains united with us, and our love for him has been brought to its goal in us. Here is how we know that we remain united with him and he with us. He has given to us from his own Spirit. Moreover, we have seen and we testify that the Father has sent his Son as deliverer of the world. If someone acknowledges that Yeshua is the Son of God, God remains united with him and he with God. Also, we have come to know and trust the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who remain in this love remain united with God, and God remains united with them. Here is how love has been brought to maturity with us. As the Messiah is, so are we in the world. This gives us confidence for the day of judgment. There is no fear in love. On the contrary, love that has achieved its goal gets rid of fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who keeps fearing has not been brought to maturity in regard to love. We ourselves love now because he loved us first. If anyone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For if a person does not love his brother whom he has seen, then he cannot love God whom he has not seen. Yes, this is the command we have from him. Whoever loves God must love his brother too. That is 1 John 3:23 through chapter 4 and verse 21. This really continues the theme of what you have heard from the beginning in chapter 3, where John highlights the commandment to love our neighbors. Some of this reminder to these believers who are gathering in home fellowships, I interpret to be a call to set aside the diversity among these disciples of Yeshua. There were Jewish and Gentile believers of all walks of life and backgrounds assembling together, all different ethnicities, gathering together. And because of this exhortation that John is putting out, it appears that there may have been some division within these gatherings, causing some feathers to be ruffled. John brings to their remembrance the second great command, to love our neighbors as ourselves, which is a reflection of the first and greatest command, to love Adonai Elohim with all our heart, soul, and might. So let's unpack some of this portion of John's letter. Those who obey the commands of Hashem remain united with him, and he with them. This is how we know that he remains united with us. There is the external witness that we are his people and he is our God. We obey his commands. That's, again, the external witness, and we have his breath. Those who are followers of the Messiah Yeshua, believers in Hashem, we have his breath, his spirit, the Ruach Elohim, which he gave us as our internal witness of these truths that we belong to him, that we are his and he is ours. So after affirming the external and internal witness of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, John then cautions believers, "Dear friends, don't trust every spirit. On the contrary, test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." John warns them, "There are other spirits at work, even in those who once walked with them or present themselves as followers of Yeshua or believers." John directs them to test the spirits to see if they are from God or not. And the first basic simple test to see if a spirit is from God or not is this, verse 2. "Here is how you recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit which acknowledges that Yeshua, the Messiah, came as a human being is from God. Anyone who utters anything to the contrary is not speaking from God." There were many anti-missionaries in the first century trying to draw people away from Yeshua, even as there are today. These spirits come in many forms. In messianic communities, there are those who try to distract and discourage people from following Yeshua, saying that he's not really the promised Messiah in the flesh. And so they try and draw people away. And then in the more evangelical circles, we've seen many high-profile Christian celebrities and church leaders stepping away from the exclusive claims of Yeshua and presenting a watered-down focus to just adhere to these biblical principles and precepts to live a better life now, without a distinct declaration of faith in Hashem through the Master Yeshua. These spirits are not from God. John continues, "And every spirit which does not acknowledge Yeshua is not from God. In fact, this is the spirit of the anti-Messiah. You have heard that he is coming. Well, he's here now, in the world already." So there's nothing vague or ambiguous about a statement or declaration of faith. Yeshua is either the promised Messiah and Savior of humanity, the Son of the living God, or he is not. There's no middle ground. And so, knowing the spirit that is from God versus those that are not, that is absolutely the litmus test. That's what John says here. This is how we will recognize the Spirit of God. There is no middle ground. People will choose whether or not to follow Yeshua. But for believers to be a child of God, there's no gray area here. For our personal faith in our walk with Hashem, as we follow the Master Yeshua, as well as in our preaching, there cannot be gray area. If one is afraid of offering the true gospel, scared to offend, then first of all, you don't love those people. If you're afraid of that you're going to offend people and thus keep the message intentionally blurry, that one who preaches that way, they're not fit to preach. They're not fit to stand behind any pulpit or anything else. And they are not speaking from the Spirit of God. Test the spirits, my friends, to see if they are from God or not. If the gospel offends you, if you're preaching, truly preaching the gospel and it offends people, that's between them and God. Any matters of opinion, politics, other stuff, doctrine, and all the other things that we like to argue about, that's on us if we're going to make that a sticking point and offend people by that with those matters. That's on us. But if preaching the true gospel and that Yeshua is the promised Messiah and the Savior, the Son of the living God, if that offends someone, they can take it up with God. Because that message is from the Spirit of God. So test the spirits, my friends, to see if they are from God or not. John identifies this as the spirit of anti-Messiah or Antichrist, whom he says is already in the world. We should be acutely aware of that fact, just looking around us, that the spirit of Antichrist is in the world. And we discussed that topic much more in the episode titled Antichrist, just a couple episodes back. So if you haven't listened to that one yet, I'd urge you to do so. Next, John offers some encouragement to these believers. You, children, are from God and have overcome the false prophets, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. John speaks again of the internal witness of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, who empowers us to overcome anti-Messiah false prophets, because they have the Spirit given them from Hashem. These believers are not deceived by these false prophets, and neither will we be. He tells them of these antichrists. In verse 5, they are from the world, therefore they speak from the world's viewpoint, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God doesn't listen to us. This is how we distinguish the spirit of truth from the spirit of error. So those who do not acknowledge the message that Yeshua, the promised Messiah, has come in the flesh, if they do not receive that message, they are not from God. They are from the world. And to be from the world is to deny the heavenly truth. It is not the spirit of truth, but the spirit of error for those who deny Yeshua came in the flesh. That's the spirit of error, which is from the world. Beloved friends, let us love one another, because love is from God, and everyone who loves has God and as his Father. Everyone who loves has God as his Father and knows God. Those who do not love do not know God, because God is love. This is an exhortation from John to these believers to set aside their differences and love one another. As we previously discussed, at the foundational level, loving our brothers in Messiah, brothers and sisters, regardless of their background, etc., it starts with ensuring needs are met within the household of God, making sure people's basic needs are met. That is foundational. That our brothers and sisters do not go without, regardless of whether we agree with them on every point. We don't have to agree with every doctrinal or theological stance. If they say that Yeshua is the Messiah, the Christ, who has come in the flesh, the Son of the living God, we should treat them as a brother or sister and love them accordingly. John continues and illustrates how God revealed his love, which is how we should love one another. Verse 9. Here is how God showed his love among us. God sent his only Son into the world so that through him we might have life. Yeshua has come in the flesh. This is the love of Hashem on display. To deny this fact is to deny God's love. Verse 10. Here is what love is. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the kapara, atonement, for our sins. Beloved friends, if this is how God loved us, we likewise ought to love one another. Yeshua said the world would recognize that we belong to him by our love for one another. And unfortunately, what the world often witnesses is our divisiveness, our fractures, and our factions, which are on full display in so many ways, but just most awfully in some of the absolutely most pointless, nonsensical debates and posts on social media. Would that we were loving each other at greater volume than we squabble with one another. Wouldn't it be wonderful if our love was as loud, if not louder, than our divisions? They will know us by our love for one another, which is a reflection of Hashem's love for us. He loved us first, and our love for him. We seem to be more concerned with correcting the doctrine of others than actually loving them. Well, Brad, I'm showing them love by showing them the error of their theology and their doctrine. It's called tough love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, you know. You know, if correction is needed, should that not happen privately? Yes, yes, actually, it should. And if there still is a lack of agreement on doctrinal points, don't we still love one another? We are more focused on being right and trying to woo people or persuade people to our doctrinal understandings. We're more focused on that than we are on simply loving our brothers and sisters, which is what we're commanded to do. Not to pull people to certain doctrinal stances, but to love one another. Loving men and women who are created in the image and likeness of the living God. That's what we're supposed to do, because it reflects our love for our brothers and sisters, and it's the great reflection of our love for Hashem. Moving on, verse 12. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God remains united with us, and our love for him has been brought to its goal in us. Some people will get hung up on the first statement that no one has ever seen God, because we read in Exodus 33 verse 11, that Adonai will speak to Moses face to face. Later on in that same chapter, we read that Moses may see the glory of Adonai, for no human can see him and remain alive. And so the issue is taking the phrase face-to-face literally. That phrase, face-to-face, is a Hebrew idiom speaking of an intimate conversation, a one-on-one conversation, intimate as with a friend. That is how Moses spoke with Hashem. In the Talmud, it is said Moses saw Hashem as through one lens. The prophets see Hashem as through nine lenses. So there is still a lens. There is still a separation between what Moses, or who Moses saw, and how he saw the Holy One, blessed be he. There's still a lens between. But he did speak more intimately with Adonai Elohim, the Lord our God, than any of the other prophets. The only one closer is, of course, Yeshua, the promised Messiah. So John says that the goal of our love for Hashem, the goal of our love for Hashem is reached if we believers love one another. That's the goal. The reason John brings up the point that no one has seen God is that mankind is created in the image and likeness of God, so our love for one another is a reflection of our love for Hashem. John goes on, here is how we know that we remain united with him and he with us. He has given to us from his own spirit. Moreover, we have seen, speaking of himself and the other apostles, we have seen and we testify that the Father has sent his Son as deliverer of the world. If someone acknowledges that Yeshua is the Son of God, God remains united with him, and he with God. Also, we have come to know and trust the love that God has for us. God is love, And those who remain in this love remain united with God, and God remains united with them. Love is the proving ground. It's the battlefield where we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. It is where we show who we are, what we are made of. Verse 17, here is how love has been brought to maturity with us. As the Messiah is, so are we in the world. This gives us confidence for the day of judgment. Now that is a bold statement. As Yeshua is, present tense, as Yeshua is, so are we in the world. So as he is right now in the heavenlies, so are we in this world. We are his representatives. We are his ambassadors in this world. Yeshua said that he is the light of the world, and he declared that his Talmudim, his disciples, are the light of the world. Are we reflecting the light of Hashem in our love for one another? Yeshua is the light of the world. Is the world seeing his light in his people? Verse 18, there is no fear in love. On the contrary, love that has achieved its goal gets rid of fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The person who keeps fearing has not been brought to maturity in regard to love. So this seems like an odd or even perplexing statement, that there's no fear in love. And I'll apologize right now, because a quote from Michael Scott on the TV show The Office popped into my head while I was pondering this statement. And Michael was asked if he would rather be feared or loved. And he answered, "Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me." Okay, sorry. It's a bit of a rabbit trail. Anyway, what does John mean that there is no fear in love, and that perfect love casts out fear, or love that has met its goal, which is perfect love? It casts out fear. So here are my thoughts on this. I see love and hate having parallels to truth and lying. And you've probably heard it said that if you tell the truth, if you're honest, you don't have to remember your story because it's not made up. If you lie, you have to remember the lie you told in case it's ever brought up again for fear of being revealed as a liar. Hatred also has with it an element of fear. If we hate someone, we have to remember and keep a grasp on why we hate them. We keep reminding ourselves of the wrongs they committed, holding resentments, regrets, unforgiveness out of fear. The fear that someone got away with something on us. The fear of abandonment. The fear of being made a fool of. And so we keep that anger and hatred to make us feel like we've still got something over their heads. We're in control. And we fear giving that up because, well, what if they don't get their just punishment? Fear has to do with punishment. Aren't you grateful that you haven't received your just punishment? I certainly am. The mercy and grace of Hashem have pardoned me from a death sentence, which I rightly deserved. When we love someone in truth, not with any ulterior motives, but simply love them, not expecting anything in return, loving them as a reflection of the love of the Holy One, blessed be He, we have no fear. There is nothing to fear when we love that way. There's no fear or concern of being taken advantage of, wounded, or harmed in any way, because we are loving as we have been commanded, and there is no fear in the love of Hashem. And we are loving according to the example which was shown to us by the Master, Yeshua the Messiah. And you know what? This does leave us vulnerable to be hurt and wounded. But that's not our concern. We have to live free of that fear. We do not fear the one who can only destroy the body. There is no fear in God's love towards us, and there is no fear in Yeshua's love for us. He knew what loving mankind meant, but he moved forward in the greatest act of love ever displayed, not fearing. Greater love has no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friend. That's exactly what Yeshua did. Perfect love casts out fear. If you fear loving someone, opening yourself up to others, which causes you to withhold love and blessing from them, you are immature. This is what John said. In other words, grow up. All right, he didn't quite say it that way. He didn't put it that bluntly, but he said that you are immature in the ways of love. Those who behave that way are immature in the ways of love. And John concludes this chapter stating, we ourselves love now because he loved us first. We know how to love because we have been shown the perfect example of love by the Most High, El Elyon. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For if a person does not love his brother whom he has seen, then he cannot love God whom he has not seen. It doesn't get much more plain than that, folks. You cannot declare you love the unseen God if you hate your brother or sister who you do see and has been created in the image and likeness of the unseen King of the universe. Anyone who says that and lives that way is a liar. And remember how hatred is defined. We've discussed this a few times in at least a couple episodes. If you withhold what could meet someone's basic needs, if you withhold that from a brother or sister, you are reflecting hatred towards them. And according to the Master Yeshua, that makes you a murderer. As John earlier wrote, and no murderer has eternal life. We cannot hate our brothers and sisters. We cannot withhold from them. Verse 21, yes, this is the command we have from him. Whoever loves God must love his brother too. And I will add to that, even those we think unlovely or who have done things that we find unlovable. We must love our brothers. Can't have one without the other. So let's love on people. Life's a lot easier when we do that. That way we're not keeping score. I hope this has challenged and blessed you, and I thank you for your time. Please do study to show yourself approved of God. There's a lost and dying world out there caught in the crossfire on this battlefield. So let's love them into the coming kingdom. Let's go out and give them heaven. And until next time, may the favor, the Master, the Tzaddik, the Righteous One, Yeshua of Nazareth, the Messiah, may the favor he found in the eyes of Hashem be upon you and all your household, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding reign in your hearts and minds in the Messiah Yeshua. Grace and peace. Chen Shalom.